Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? Welcome to the Around the World podcast. I'm your host, Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more in the Around the World podcast. Hello, everyone. My guest today is Carol. She's part owner of the Horsepen 46 Hostel here in Shaanxi, China, where I've been staying for the last couple weeks, just kind of waiting out the winter in the southern part of China where it's not quite so cold and the air is nice and clean here every day in this beautiful little village. There's one problem, though, and I keep running into this. I've recorded a few podcasts here, and I just cannot get away from the noise. Even as we speak, these guys are pounding adzes behind me in the background, and it just never lets up. As soon as they stop, they're going to start doing something else. So I must admit, I'm just getting a little bit frustrated. And if you think, like, well, Dan, why do you record a podcast where there's noise? Why don't you just go somewhere where it's quiet? You probably haven't been in China before, if you're thinking that, because that's nearly impossible. Anyway, during the show, there was a lot of noise, as usual. A lot of it is planing of wood, and it's high-pitched, and it's annoying to listen to. And I thought maybe I'd be able to filter it out, and I've done my best. I apologize in advance. I'm going to try my hardest not to allow this to happen again, not to let it get to me. It's just the most frustrating part about doing a podcast. I mean, I loved talking to Carol. She was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot, and I hope you enjoy it. But let's get to it. I'm rambling. Let's get right to it and listen to Carol. Can you tell me about your hat?
This hat, my friend, actually is my business partner in Shanghai. Uh-huh. We are good friends for years. We work for theater together, independent theater in Beijing together.
Oh, cool.
And then she moved to Shanghai to work with me for the Shanghai Arts Festival. And before I left Shanghai to Yunnan, Shaanxi, she gave this hat to me as a... She said that it's the start of your hippie time. So I gave you a hippie hat.
A hippie hat? Oh.
Yeah, a hippie hat.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
I can see it.
Yeah.
My first thought was it was like a colorful beret.
But it's a hippie beret.
Hippie beret. Okay. Did she make it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It looks really cool, though.
Yeah, very cool.
And then what? You lost it?
Yeah, and then when I arrived Shaanxi, the hostel, for the first week, I lost it. I cannot find it. And I was thinking about how, like, buying a new one, but, like, it's very strange because, like, so many people stopped me from buying a new one. Even my mom said, oh, you don't need a new hat. It's okay. It's not that cold. Right. Mm. Okay, and then today, like before the recording, we found it.
Ah, good.
Miracle.
Yeah, a miracle. Yeah. Well, we're in this cafe that is part of the hostel, right? Yeah.
The Mali's Cafe is a part of the Horsepen 46 Hostel. It's named after our dog, Mali. It's a Saint Bernard.
Yeah.
Dog.
There are two giant dogs at this hostel.
The one is a Tibetan dog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he's like the most mellow, gentle Tibetan dog that you can find in Yunnan, probably.
Wow, yeah, they're both so mellow, but huge.
Huge, but, Mali is much bigger, but...
It seems like they sleep almost just all day.
No, they are just they're just getting old. They're 8 years old now.
That is pretty old, especially for a big dog.
Yeah, for big dog.
Yeah.
The old age.
But then I think what's funny to me is we have dinner here every night, like a group dinner, which is awesome, by the way, like home-cooked food every night. It's just great. And while we're eating, the dog puts her chin up in the doorway on the ledge.
Doorway, because she's not allowed to go into the dining room, the common area. But like she really wants to get as close to the food as possible. So she's just like, hope someone like see her cute face. I think... Like, partly, she's also playing the cute card. Look at me, I'm so cute.
Yeah, dogs are so good at that.
Yeah. Especially big dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love eating, so they need to play the cute card.
And especially when you have so many guests come in and they don't know her, and they're like, oh wow, what a cute dog.
Actually, they are much fatter than half years ago.
Oh really?
I think because all the owners are not in the hostel. So the staffs and the customer are trying to, they cannot resist their cute card, so they just keep fitting them.
Okay.
So I think they're like double size than like half years ago.
Really?
They're like skinny, very skinny, and then now it's like.
And are you responsible for this too, for feeding them?
Yeah, actually we have a rule that don't let customers feed the dogs.
Oh yeah, that's a good rule.
Yeah, because they just like, also like, sometimes it's unhealthy, they don't know what to feed, they don't know not good. Well, it's all good, they are on diets now.
Okay, yeah, good deal.
Yeah.
Well, my wife Katie, who you met when I first mm-hmm. came here, she used to live in a apartment with another mm-hmm. girl, and her roommate had a dog, mm-hmm. a little dog, mm-hmm. and he was so sneaky. Katie would feed the dog in the mm-hmm. morning, and then by the time her roommate got up, the dog would start like jumping up and down, going, "Oh, I'm so hungry! I'm so hungry! Mm-hmm. I haven't been fed yet." Basically, not really saying that, but communicating like
showing that
I'm
hungry.
And then the roommate would feed the dog too, and so he'd just keep eating. And
yeah, dogs are very sneaky. They're smart somehow.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah, they are like I felt like someone told me. The dog have a 7-year-old kid's intelligence.
Okay. Huh. I guess I haven't thought of that. But they can't speak, though.
They can't speak, yeah. But they think they actually have some kind of logic in there. They can associate with, like, okay, this person will give me food if I do this thing.
Right. Yeah. They are so smart like that. Hmm. I guess that's part of why they make good pets.
Yeah.
Obedient and smart.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. The Tibetan dog is kind of less smart in that way.
Oh, really?
He's not really interested in food. He's very, like, happy about, satisfied, feels satisfied about what he got every day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's good enough.
Yeah, good enough. Yeah. He's like, oh, I don't need too much. Also, he's really only interested in milk product and bones, meat.
Milk and bones.
Yeah.
Well, we have this treat in America that mm-hmm. you give dogs called milk bones.
Oh, that's
so
great.
That'd be perfect. The dog would love
perfect.
It.
Yeah. Now like his favorite snack is yogurt.
Yogurt?
Yeah, if you give like if you just like put the yogurt in front of him, he will do everything for you. Seat, hands, drum, bark, whatever.
Wow.
Like, yogurt like is like his favorite food.
And he can digest it just fine?
Yeah. Tibetan dogs are very good at digesting milk products.
Okay.
Yeah, like in Tibet or in the Shangri-La, like high altitude area, the only thing they can eat is milk and bones, meat.
The people do that a lot, or are like that too, right? They eat a lot of, drink a lot of yak milk. And
yak milk, barley flour with butter, yak butter.
Yak butter.
Yeah,
suyong. Those, high elevation cultures, I found, eat a lot of meat, a lot of protein, because they just don't have the vegetables.
Yeah, they don't have vegetables.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of Tibetan, a lot of their fiber, like vegetable, come from tea. They drink a lot of tea.
Yeah.
So that's why the tea horse trail is very important in the old time for the Tibetan.
Okay.
They depend on it to travel, to trade tea. Like, so they can buy tea from the Chinese or from the Bai.
Yeah.
And like, people like, walk through the mountain to Tibet.
Okay.
Or they would come here to buy tea and then they bring it back.
Huh.
Yeah, the tea horse trail, that's why it's called tea horse trail.
Yeah,
tea is so important for their diet. Without tea, there's like, no fiber for them.
Wow, okay, never knew that.
Yeah.
And this part of Yunnan, they grow a lot of tea here?
In Yunnan, not a lot.
Or this part of China, maybe?
Yeah, part of the whole Yunnan, like, in different cities, they grow different tea.
Yeah, okay.
They have like, in Dali, Shaanxi is part of Dali. Dali, I don't know, not province, also.
Yeah, the county, maybe?
Dali County, grow a lot of green tea.
Oh, okay.
The local people love drinking green tea.
Yeah, which I'm drinking right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's delicious. And
flower, I'm drinking flower tea now.
Flower tea, oh. Yeah, I've been drinking green tea like all day since coming here and just writing.
Can you sleep at night?
You know what? Last night I had a hard time sleeping. Yeah. Maybe it's from the tea. I was wondering why.
Yeah, maybe too much green tea.
I thought maybe I just have too much on my mind, but...
Yeah, maybe too.
Yeah.
But like green tea, like local people, like if they work, that's why before they start working,
yeah.
Like the tradition is that they need to drink tea.
Uh-huh.
Like even like if you hire any local workers to work for you, you need to prepare tea for them.
Oh, okay.
Like hot water, tea, teapot.
It's yeah. Like, so, it's they're working and you have to bring them tea?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like, because the local people, they, working for outsider, like for money, is a new thing for them. They used to just work for friends,
yeah.
Families,
yeah.
Like people around. So it's kind of like, okay, now I'm busy, you come to help me. And when you are busy, I will come to help you.
Uh-huh.
So of course, the tradition is like, you need to treat them like a guest.
Ah, like, that's like why, okay.
Like, not a guest of a friend, at least, like someone come to help you. It's not like the hiring, the concept of hiring, like you pay money, you work for me, you do whatever you need yeah. to, it's not that common here.
Oh, it's a brand new thing, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, it's still a brand new thing. Like,
yeah.
Especially in Shaanxi, the development is kind of like slower than other parts of Dali. Like, yeah. Like the Dali old town, they're much more modern now.
Okay.
So they're used to working for money.
Yeah.
But for here, like, you still like, you need to treat them like you are someone, come to help me.
Hmm.
I like that mentality, actually.
It's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, because like, okay, I pay you money, just like, and you work for me. It's like exchange. It's not like I'm higher than you. It's still like, you are doing something for me.
Right.
You know, so
yeah.
I think it's cool.
Yeah, that's really nice. I went to a Frisbee tournament, actually, mm-hmm. like a couple months ago in Beijing.
Mm.
And they had an ambulance come and just wait. It was kind of important because there's like a couple hundred people playing Frisbee and people sprain their ankles and twist knees,
yeah,
things
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So there's,
dangerous.
Yes, these medical guys right there. But they ordered lunch for everybody in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a typical group lunch, Chinese group lunch. It was like this really good organic food.
Wow.
And just the exact number of portions that they needed. That was probably the mistake that the organizers made. They only ordered exactly what they needed and no more. And then the ambulance drivers came up and said, hey, where's our lunch?
Ooh.
You have to give us lunch. And the people organizing the tournament didn't realize that culturally this is something you have to do in China, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not in big cities, people can understand, but still, it would be nice. Like for example, yesterday buy the lunch for the worker. We give them tea, and then like we talk to them. You know, like that kid sometimes it would come with them, and then the kid can stay at the hostel and do some drawing. You know, we kind of need to take care of the kids too.
Yeah. Oh wow. So it's a whole ordeal to hire somebody here.
Yeah.
But
it's more like invite your friends to come to help you, and then you pay them a little bit of money for exchange of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of hiring workers, we're just like trying to get someplace that's really quiet, and this is just a theme that I have with this podcast every time I do it, just trying to go somewhere quiet, which is nearly impossible anywhere you go in China. And we're in this cafe. Yeah, and they just stopped now, but these guys were planing wood.
Yeah.
They're building like what do you think, a new hotel here?
A new hotel. They already rented it out to some people.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to build a huge hotel here.
Hmm.
Yeah, like this is almost everywhere in Yunnan.
It's just growing.
Because Yunnan is kind of last, Wonderland.
Yeah.
Peaceful, beautiful land in China.
And it is.
I
mean, compared with most of the places I've been, it's just...
They have mountains, they have nature.
It's paradise here.
And also have a lot of different ethnic groups here.
Right.
So the culture is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the Shaanxis have the Bai and Yi. And
those are the main two?
Yeah, the main two in Dali.
Oh, okay. What about, I went to the market the other day, the Friday market, and that was really cool. There were a lot of the minorities.
Mm, and on the mountain, I think, most of them.
the women were wearing these hats, these kind of fluffy hats.
The black one? The black fly, like a frying pan?
Like a frying pan?
Frying pan, is it?
I don't think it was that one. I think it looked more like a chef's hat. Yeah, round.
That's just the bai.
Those are bai people?
They are bai people, the old people.
Yeah, the old people.
The old people, right. Is the blue, usually.
Blue?
Blue, in color.
That's a name of a minority?
No, the color of
the the color of the hat was blue. Yep,
yeah, that's
right.
Bai.
Oh, okay.
Even it's very interesting because they call themselves bai, like white.
Yeah.
But all their clothes are blue.
That's interesting. The white blue people.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you see people wearing a frying pan shaped hat, like square black thing, or it's really big. Some of them, like, they have three different kind of hat. One is for the young girl. Mm. One is for the married but younger female, and one is for the older married woman.
Okay.
So I think the middle one, the young married female, their head is huge. It's like a square of like half meter plus half meter. Like a square like this, like blocking everything.
Don't they get in the way of things?
I think so.
How can they ever shake hands with each other? Their hats are so big.
Like this?
They can't even reach up.
I don't think they shake hands.
Well, I guess that's not a Chinese thing
Not a Chinese thing. But I think the function part of it is like they can block the sunshine.
Yeah, right.
Because Yi people, they all live in the mountain. Mm, they refuse to come down to the flat area.
Okay.
So I think they have too much sunshine. So their head have to be very big to block everything. Yeah. Yeah, and then they like to wear very colorful clothing. Mm. Yeah, but I like people. They are like the mountain people are always very pure.
Are they the ones that live in the village across the river?
Yes,
Yi people?
In the Huachongshan. There's two mountains. Like Shaxi is kind of like in between of two mountains.
Yeah,
like one is Huachongshan, one is Shibaoshan. Mm. The Huachongshan is the end of the Himalayas.
Oh,
so it continue. By from the Dali, the Changshan, and then this is the Yubo, like the ending of a Himalayas range, the range, and then the Shibaoshan is connected to Laojunshan. It's kind of red rock mountain, the shape, landscape, red rock landscape. So Laojunshan is like near Lijiang. That's like really beautiful national park there, with a golden monkey. Red panda, like the real animals. In the wild, yeah.
Ah, okay.
Like that mountain range is really beautiful. So Shibaoshan is kind of continued like the ending of the Laojunshan mountain range. So it's a red rock and they have this like ring shape or turtle back shape, whatever you call it, like
all the rocks. We went and saw those
the
other day.
The red bumps everywhere.
Right. It's really cool and unique. I'll put up a picture for people to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really interesting mountain landscape.
I heard that in America also have a similar landscape, like red bumps like this. It's called horse pen something something.
That's how our
guesthouse name, our hostel's name come from.
It comes from America?
Yeah.
Oh,
because the original the founder, she very amazed by this rock, and then some American friend told her actually in America they have a similar landscape, and then it's called Horsepen 36. Horsepen something, and then so she named the hostel Horsepen 46.
Wow. Okay. So that's interesting. I thought it was I thought it literally used to be a horse pen.
But also it's partly this name is very interesting. Have many meaning like this horse pen thing, and also because of it is the market in the tea horse show.
Yeah.
So lots of horses here.
A lot of horses here.
Yeah.
Even today.
Even today, like a few years ago, even more. Now it's less because all the village. Next, like around Shaxi, have roads now. If they don't have road, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they still need to use horses to carry all the products. They would come on Friday market, actually, with all the horses, and buy all the stuff they need, and then they carry it back to their village. But now, like slowly, they have roads, so they don't really need horses.
So it's progress, but they're culture is going away then.
I mean, like, you cannot stop progress. You cannot stop, people building roads, development.
Right.
It's just like, how, like, a good, like, how can you preserve our old town? Like, they have, like, 1,000 years age, like, history.
Right.
Like, how can you, like, even it's a museum, how can you do a better museum? How can you preserve the culture? How the tourism, like, how can you have a sustainable, like, tourism here?
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know, I want to see these places and these cultures that are so different and interesting for me. But I understand that by going to visit, I'm maybe taking away a little bit too.
Yeah, you
know? Like, and if enough of me come, then it'll get ruined.
Yeah, so that's why when we, like, run the hostel, we're trying to not educate, but trying to, like, tell the customer, or when we go to the mountain, when it could be clean, for example, the Saturday hiking, we'll give free guiding to the customer to do the hiking, but we bring plastic bag, bring a trash can, so they can put the rubbish, pick up rubbish from the mountain.
That's great that you do that.
Yeah, and also trying to preserve the house as old as it can, trying to, keep the old feeling of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So,
and you've done a great job. It looks old.
Like, now I have so many big hotels here.
It's turning into that, you can tell. Yeah.
So they definitely don't care about that too much. Then you bring, like, customers, like tourists that are not really care about the culture and the environment, but just consume the place.
Yeah, that's sad.
It's so sad.
It's sad to see, and I'm sure, like, If we went back 20 years, probably Lijiang probably looked like this.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And now it's overrun tourists.
I used to live in Dali. And the first time I went to Dali is like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So much different than now.
Even 5 years ago?
Even five years. It's actually the development is from 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, suddenly, now you think Yeminlu, the main street in Dali, is very busy. Like, 5 years ago, I can sit on that street for half day and don't see anyone.
Wow, so it's changed that much.
Yeah, I can sit there, chill with some friend, and no one there. No tourists pass by.
Yeah.
No cars.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess us sitting next to this awful construction sound, I view it as only bad because we have to listen to it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the symbol of China, so it's so, like, appropriate. Everywhere you go in China, there's just construction.
Yes, it is.
All over.
Like, now in the big city, it's maybe less, but still, like, in the countryside, and in Yunnan, in Sichuan, all the beautiful places, all you can see is construction.
Yeah, it is true. In Beijing, today, I don't see that much inside the second ring.
Inside the second
ring. There's not much, because it's all been built.
It's all been built. There's no possibility.
Yeah, not much left to do. But once you go outside of the fifth ring into the suburbs.
The country, the suburb.
Oh, yeah. Just.
Yeah, that's China. The people still think, like, we need to keep building so the economy can keep going up. You create jobs, you create, like, facilities. But maybe, I don't know.
Which I can appreciate.
Yeah.
Like, you want a good economy.
Yeah. But is it really necessary to overdevelop everywhere?
Well, that's the question.
Yeah, and it just feels like a factory produce too much products, overproduce.
Yeah, I've heard I've heard there's enough houses in China, but there's for maybe like 3 billion people, I've heard, to live in.
Oh, really?
And there's like 1.4 billion people here.
Yeah, so many. We call it like ghost town.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
you,
like,
call it that in Chinese?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. In English too.
Yeah. So just like a whole town or whole area district full of, like, brand new houses, but no one lived there.
It's crazy. Not just houses, but 30-story buildings.
Yeah, like
20 of them in a row that are each 30 stories tall.
Yeah,
and
they all planned, oh, this is the city center, like the center, like you have an exercise facility here, and then this is like, but there's no one there.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, it's only happened in the south of China, like Shenzhen, like close to that, the Hong Kong area.
Yeah, right.
I'm from Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Hong Kong people, they like to buy a house in an apartment in Shenzhen area.
Yeah.
Because it's like 1 hour, you can go there, but the price is like half. But they can only go there during weekend.
Right.
Or once a month.
So they go from this giant city of Hong Kong to their weekend getaway of Shenzhen, which is like 10 million people. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But, oh, that's nice.
Yeah. But actually, Hong Kong has a lot of beautiful empty place, but just...
I went there a year ago, and I was surprised. Yeah. I didn't realize how big it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was more like just the city. Yeah, and there's a lot of really nice parks.
Yeah,
and,
national park, like beaches. And,
very accessible.
Trails.
I was impressed.
Yeah.
It was cool.
But the people like to squeeze together. So I come to Yunnan. I escape.
Right. Yeah. Comparatively, there's very few people here. It's just kind of this laid-back lifestyle.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it here.
Yeah. But it's not... Actually, it's quite... before, I only... Trying to live here, but not really doing much, so it's very relaxing.
Okay.
And now I have a hostel, it's so much more busy.
Oh. Well, how long ago did you buy into the hostel?
I'm part of a hostel since half years ago.
Okay. Yeah. And how many owners are there?
5-6. Quite a lot. Okay. Yeah.
And
but lots of them are not here most of the time.
Is Feifei a part owner too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you two are kind of running it right now while everybody else is gone?
Yeah. Yeah,
and
basically.
And then you'll rotate after a couple months? Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And there's so many small things. Like if you want to do it like a better, more like home feeling, or like you care about the environment, so we don't use paper.
Yeah.
Because we are YHA, so lots of like kind of rules that you need to... like respect the culture, like good for the environmental friendly, you know, so like you need to, if you really need to do it good, like it's not easy.
Yeah, we've got some firecrackers going off in the background. Somebody's having fun.
Some people getting married.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, there's a lot of reasons I've learned in China to let off firecrackers.
Or some new shop opened.
Any excuse you can find, really.
Yeah,
basically. But back to the YHA thing and the hostel. I must say, I've been living in the dorm room, and it's very big. And I've been in a few hostels where that size room will have twice as many beds.
Mm.
And you can't even walk. It's just so crammed. And it's really nice to... have a bit of space.
Actually, I really like the mixed dorm room because it's not only big but have windows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have a space and have lockers.
The lockers are really nice.
Yeah.
I've got a shelf behind my head.
There's
just a few small things that hostels can do.
I really appreciate Feifei and another owner Aliang, they design all the dorm room.
Oh, cool.
They are like really experienced traveler, so they know what is a good dorm room traveler. So
and the beds don't shake when you climb it. It's really annoying if you're asleep and your bunkmate climbs into bed later, and the whole thing shakes. That doesn't happen.
Yeah, and have a small shelf next to the window that you can sit down and write something.
Yeah,
use your computer. Yeah, they are very cool. Cool people. Actually, for me, a hostel is a new thing.
I don't
stay at a hostel too much.
Huh.
Yeah, because be honest, I don't really travel that much. Every time when I go to a place, it is for some reason.
Okay, we got a truck now.
Truck now.
Man, we came in here thinking it would be so quiet.
Yeah.
And now they have these trucks here where the engine is just fully exposed. There's no hood.
No hood.
Yeah. No bonnet, maybe you learned.
Okay.
So if it's driving, well, first of all, it's very loud.
Yeah, very loud.
And then if it drives past you, if you accidentally put your arm out and touch it, you lose your arm. There's all sorts of spinning stuff inside.
Yeah, and also they produce really black smoke.
Oh yeah, it's awful.
I think they're using a different kind of oil.
Oh, must be. And they just move really slow, and yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have much good to say about those trucks.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think that maybe they're so cheap.
Oh, that's probably
the only reason I can think about.
Probably the advantage. What were we talking about? The hostel.
Oh, like, I said I didn't really travel that much.
Yeah.
Because, like, travel in terms of just go to a place to see. But for me, I like to stay at the place for a longer time. And all when I go abroad or go to like a further place, I have a purpose. I like to, my job, I need to go to different country to see performances. So,
like a dance performance or,
Like theater,
plays?
Theater, like dance, theater, music, like everything happened in the theater. So every year I would go to a different country to see new performances. What's the contemporary, what's like the most up-to-date contemporary theater work in the world. Like Israel is very good for contemporary dance.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah, they are, wow, this was amazing.
Huh.
And like Europe, of course, like Denmark is very good for kids theater.
Huh.
Yeah, the kids, so like every time I go to a place, I have a host, I stay at their place.
Yeah, okay.
And then, so.
But what do you do for the theater then?
Oh, I organize festival.
Ah, all
right. So I need to see different performances.
Yeah.
So invite them to China.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they come here
and
you organize a festival here in China.
Yeah.
Ah,
to show contemporary theater work.
Oh, does the government fund that then?
Yeah, I went for different one.
Yeah.
The different festival, like the some are funded by government, some are funded by private money.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a friend come out here, well, not here, but in China to Xining to play curling. He's a curler. Do you
What's
know curling? It's on ice, and it's an Olympic sport where they move, they push rocks on ice.
Yeah,
you know this one?
Yeah, I know this one.
Yeah, and he's
interesting. I never actually see the sport on ice.
It's not the kind of sport you would
just
watch on TV usually, except during the Olympics. But he is at the world-class level, and he came out here to play. And
Xining. So
in Xining, the government built this big facility, like worthy of an Olympic team,
cool.
and invited all of these teams from around the world to come play in a tournament.
Wow.
Yeah, that was cool. So I learned that they do this kind of thing.
Yeah, actually, a lot of the climbing here in Yunnan are supported by government. Some
are
built by private people, but usually it's like they will support the festival because they want to promote their tourism.
Oh, okay.
So they want to make something big.
Hmm.
Yeah. We're actually getting smaller, less and less festival now in China because, they some people find it's not a very effective way to attract tourists.
All right.
Yeah. Huh. But some are good, some successful. Like, for example, the one in Wuzhen are very good at attracting tourists.
Yeah. Well, I guess you kind of just have to learn as you go, you know? This probably isn't that common in the Western world to use that as a way, like to draw in tourists.
Yeah,
and it's cool being here because it's such a blank slate, like the whole country. And we were even talking about the ghost cities, and you were asking maybe a rhetorical question, like, will that work? Will that keep the economy going? And I think no one knows because it's never been tried before, not on a grand scale.
I think China is kind of like an experimental land.
Yeah, it's a big experiment in so many ways.
Trying different ways, they see if it works.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And some of these little villages, like Dali and Lijiang, they'll turn the center into this old city, and a lot of it's actually very new.
Actually, Lijiang, they're all new because of they have a fire.
Oh, that's right.
Same as Shangri-La, they have a fire. Like 2-3 years ago, and the Weishan, in the recent 5 years, a lot of old town get burned down. So Shaanxi are very like, we are so scared of fire now.
Oh, right. Yeah, all the buildings are made of wood.
Yeah, so. Really dry wood.
Right,
and
right.
And the weather quite dry here.
Uh-huh.
And so even like in the old town area, we can't use fire anymore. We used it to have a Tibetan stove. People can like burn the wood and get warm. Yeah. It's actually very nice.
Yeah.
And now, like, the government stops us.
Well, yeah. It's probably a good thing for your own safety.
But be honest, all the fires in other old town never started by burning wood.
Oh, no?
By fires. It's by electronic products.
Oh, the electricity.
The electricity
is,
problem because
the wiring is the so wire, horrible.
Yeah. Yes.
Substandard.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, if especially if they're using heater, like,
yeah.
Or like something like really
uses a lot of juice.
Yeah. And then it just burn, and then the cable is old, and the wiring is poor.
Yeah. Like a couple months ago, I went with some friends to the Great Wall to hike, and we were going to end up in this little village, and some of the people had rented out this house with Airbnb, and this like courtyard home, an old house, and we got to like a hill overlooking the village. We were mm-hmm. still way up on the hill, mm-hmm. and there was this giant plume of smoke coming from the village, and it happened to be coming from that house. So as we got closer, we realized mm-hmm. like the house that we're gonna stay in is on fire.
Oh,
yeah. And what happened is I think it hadn't been used for a while.
Wow.
And the caretaker guy came in and turned on the power and turned on, I think it had heating, mm-hmm. turned on the heating or maybe turned on the oven, I'm not sure.
Okay, just overload.
And just probably just from electrical wiring and just burned the whole thing down.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Luckily no one got hurt and luckily their stuff wasn't in the house yet. And and they didn't get blamed for it either, that because they're all foreigners.
Oh, okay.
Which they could easily get blamed for something happening.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a huge problem for us, but it's just too bad that this kind of thing happens.
Yeah, and in the old town in Yunnan, all the houses are very like close to each other. Some houses are even like share the same wall.
Right. Yeah.
So and they're all wood houses. So if one house start fire on fire and. It spreads so fast.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Like my friend was they have a guest house in Shangri-La old town when the fire's on.
Yeah,
and then they are almost at the end of the street, and then they are looking at the first house is on fire. That house is like standing on the rooftop and say, I look at that house, it's on fire.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks it's so far away from them. It's really far away from them.
Yeah.
And then they're just like drinking some tea, no one really think about it will be a big problem.
Yeah.
And then like in like half hour or something, like the fire is like on their face. And then they are like at that time it's too late to think about anything because you cannot stop it. Like everything is so good for burning.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like no one expect the small fire become such like huge disaster.
That's crazy how fast a fire can spread.
Yeah, especially it's dry, it's cold, it's windy.
Right.
Yeah.
And did all of Shangri-La just burn down? All of the old town?
Basically, yeah.
Oh, that the whole sucks. Right now it looks really nice.
Yeah, they rebuild it fast.
Yeah, I guess so. Because I was just there before coming here.
Yeah.
Actually, we went directly from there to here. I thought that was the kind of place I could stay for a while because it's just really quiet and relaxed. And the only problem was it was cold.
Yeah,
so cold there.
Now it's cold. Like, I think springtime or summer is much better.
Better, yeah. I think it's at like, it's over 3,000 meters high. So
yeah, it's over 3,000.
And what is it here, like 2,000?
1,800.
Okay.
So it's much lower.
Right, at night it gets quite cold here, but you have the heated blankets here.
Yeah, heated blanket.
That keeps you warm.
And this year is quite warm, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's no snow here.
Oh, you normally get snow?
Last year and the year before, it snows in Shaanxi.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, that's too bad that we missed it. I really like winter and snow. And, yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I think the whole Yunnan is getting a little bit warmer because of global warming.
Wow, it's a worldwide problem.
Yeah.
It's too bad. I mean, I was reading recently about the deserts that are expanding in Mongolia, in Inner Mongolia, and not too far from Beijing, really. I mean, far enough that you don't have to worry now, but the deserts are getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah.
And destroying entire villages. and people become refugees. Mm. I mean, I don't want to get political on this podcast, but like scientifically, like if you don't even believe that global warming exists, like let's not even talk about what's causing it or how to fix it. If you don't even believe it's real, go ask those people in Inner Mongolia who just lost their homes to desertification, or go ask some people who lived in the South Pacific on a little island, and their island no longer exists because the sea level rose and destroyed the whole island.
And I think everyone can feel it. Even in Yunnan, the temperature is getting warmer, and it's strange. I think everyone can feel the global warming somehow, like in a different way. Not like you lost your home, but you can still feel the temperature changing. The climate is different, no longer so regular. So actually a lot of like lunar calendar, Chinese lunar calendar doesn't work anymore because the climate change.
Okay.
Yeah. So in the old time, we have a certain time it will rain, certain time it will get cold, certain time that you need to like put your seed on the farm, like start farming, you know.
Yeah.
But because of the change of climate, like the lunar calendar doesn't work very well now.
Yeah, so it's less predictable.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Gregorian calendar, for at least for the seasons, kind of sucks too. Because like, the first day of summer is like June 20th, and it in the beginning of June, it's come on, that's not spring, that's summer, right? And the last day of summer is September 19th. That's obviously fall, right?
Yeah,
like it's off by a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the location.
Yeah, it depends on where you are. Actually, I was reading about this too. This goes back to Roman times, the Gregorian calendar. And in ancient Rome, they have the Mediterranean, and that kind of stabilizes the seasons, having that big body of water there.
Oh, yeah.
So they made this calendar according to the seasons that they know, and apply it. Now it's been applied, at least, to the whole world. But the seasons don't always work the same way all over the world.
Like, even like for China, we only apply it to Chinese China, like the lunar calendar, but still, like in different part of China, it should be different. Like,
well, I found it interesting, at least in Beijing, that you call it Spring Festival, like what we call in English, we call it Chinese New Year.
Yeah, Chinese Year.
But in China, you call it Chunjie, Spring Festival.
Yeah.
Which means it's the first day of spring.
Yes.
Right, and that usually falls in February.
Yeah,
or
February.
Early February or mid February. Yeah. So. At least in Beijing,
it's still cold.
It's still very cold then.
But actually, it works quite well in the south.
Yeah, okay, so in the south, it's okay.
Yeah, like in the February, usually it's the start of spring. It's getting much warmer.
Mm-hmm.
Like people start to, like the things start to grow. Like you can see the we have a plum tree.
Oh, yeah.
In the courtyard, in the castle.
Oh, is that where you made the plum wine from?
Yeah. And then the plum tree, they will flower after or the spring festival.
So the plum tree knows that it's spring.
Yeah, the plum tree knows.
Okay.
It's spring that comes. Yeah, in the south too. In the south, like we will start to do the rice plantation.
Mm-hmm. That you do it after spring festival?
After the spring festival.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't work very well in the north. I realize because I think the lunar calendar didn't make in the north.
Oh, it wasn't made in the north.
It wasn't made in the north.
Was it made in like ancient times during one of the dynasties?
In the center of China, like now the center
in
of
Nanjing
China.
Or
no, in like Luoyang, Kaifeng, you know?
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jiangxi. Yeah, that area, like the middle, the chicken heart.
China kind of looks like a chicken.
Yeah, chicken heart.
And I think Yunnan kind of looks like China.
The map of Yunnan is a small chicken.
Right, it's like a microcosm. Well, it's not a microcosm, but it looks like it should be. Yeah, it's funny.
It's funny. And the weather here is kind of close to the south. So, and it works very well with the lunar calendar here.
All right.
Actually, the Xiao Han, you know, like not that long ago, we have the little coal. We call it Xiao Han.
Little coal or cold?
Cold.
Okay.
Yeah. So it means you get colder a little bit.
All right.
And then that day is really cold. Yeah, it's rained a little bit, and that's really true.
Yeah, I was thinking in Australia, the Aboriginal people have, well, there's many groups of Aboriginal people, but some of them use six seasons instead of four.
Oh.
And that's pretty interesting.
Interesting.
And it all has to do with when they plant their crops and what time of year it is. You know, like, I don't know much about it, but I know that there's six seasons.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's cool to see like how different cultures have come up with their own way of looking at the year and what you do at what time.
I feel a lot of them related to the agricultural development.
Agricultural,
Yeah, because like in the Lunar calendar, they marked it all the special day for you need to put a seed in now, you need to harvest, you need to like just a different stage of farming.
Yeah, super interesting.
Yeah, now it's going to Spring Festival. It will be like a lot of like special activity in Shaanxi.
Okay. And let me ask you this. So Katie and I are going to get bicycles, which Fei-Fei has been super helpful in helping me
pick them up. Your bicycle.
Yeah, we ordered them, and we ordered fold-up bicycles.
Nice.
And we're going to ride them around Southern Yunnan. That's our plan during Spring Festival. Do you think it will be hard for us to find a place to stay?
During Spring Festival, yes.
Okay, so the hotels will be very crowded? Maybe we'll just bring a tent and camp.
Yeah, I think you should bring a tent anyway.
Just for backup.
Yeah, for backup.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have anywhere you'd recommend us to go?
Well, the south of Yunnan, I didn't have too much experience about
it. Oh, you don't know it very well?
I then, only went to Reili, which is the border of Myanmar. It's very cool. It's beautiful.
Reili.
Yeah, it's very cool. They have this huge, really good, big mountains. Really.
Well, that's a little scary on a bicycle. But...
But it's cool. Really, I like it. And Sichuan Banna is close to Thailand.
And that's another town?
Yeah. Another city. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll go one of those places. Katie would really like to see the rice terraces.
Oh, cool. Yuanyang, is it?
Anywhere really where they have them.
Yeah, I mean,
but I wonder if it's
in
the
China,
right.
Though.
Yeah, everyone's the south.
Yeah, everywhere in the south.
I wonder if it's the right time of year, though, to see the rice.
Yeah, it will be a little bit dry and no green yet.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so that's so good.
After the Spring Festival, yes. Definitely you will see some green. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about Shaanxi? Does Shaanxi get really busy during Spring Festival?
Oh, I mean, like, of course, it's busier than normal time, but it's not crazy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not crazy.
Because right now, it's not too busy.
Not too busy, Actually, like, my favorite time in Shaanxi is the springtime. Like, after the Spring Festival, not many customers, not many people. But everywhere is flowers, you know, the springtime comes, greens, like the terrace full of the green. Yeah, so the terrace here is very beautiful.
Yeah, you can already see some flowers coming out.
Yeah, some, but not yet.
But not too many.
After the Spring Festival, you will see a lot in the mountain.
Okay.
Yeah, Dujuanhua.
I learned about these, the peonies, I think they're called in English.
I do
audio lessons in Chinese, and that's how I've learned my Chinese. I haven't ever had a tutor, and they teach us like a lot of words. Of course, this is Pimsleur that I use. I really, really enjoy it and recommend it. You learn not just the words, but you learn a lot about the culture. And so I learned about like peonies, and I learned different flowers. And...
Oh, peony! No. Peony is not the Dujuan.
Oh, the Pimsleur sucks. I didn't learn anything.
Yeah, this Mudan.
Mudan.
Mudan, you know, there's a famous opera in China. It's called the Peony Pavilion, something like that. It's the story of Peony.
Yeah, Mudan rings a bell too, so maybe I'm just confusing the English words.
Yeah, Dujuan, I don't know.
Because these aren't really words I even know in English.
Yeah, the flowers, name of flowers.
Yeah, right, names of flowers.
It's not so common.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many flowers or plants I never see in Yunnan, especially like in the Huachongshan. And Huachongshan have a lot of mushrooms that I never seen.
You don't see anywhere else, you mean?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Yunnan's full of all sorts of plant life.
And yeah, the mushroom, they have the pinky one, they have the purple one, they have them with a shell.
Huh.
Yeah, it's very cool. The mushroom here is really cool.
Yeah.
So the summertime, the good thing about summertime here is you have like tons of like fresh mushroom.
I even saw some morels for sale in a supermarket.
Yeah.
They're the really expensive ones. Mm. Even in China, they're really expensive.
Yeah.
But in the States, it's like people kind of have their closely guarded secrets of where they grow, and they won't tell anyone where to look because they're hard to find. And,
yeah. Oh. Yeah, the mushroom here. So actually, a lot of people doing like mushroom business here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, export from Shashi to the big cities or American, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it will be like 100 times more like profit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, the local mushroom are so cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yunnan's just got a lot of really great things going for it.
Yeah, so that's why a lot of people want to come. Like, sometimes I can understand why it developed so fast. Because if you think it's a beautiful place, everyone thinks it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I told every Chinese person I told back in Beijing, like, yeah, I said, oh, I'm going to be in Yunnan for a while. They go, oh, Yunnan, wow.
Yeah.
And even if they've never been there, they just kind of have
they imagine it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a famous song, a very like popular song released not that long ago. It's like, I want to quit my job and going to Yunnan.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's the lyric. Huh. Yeah, it's like really, really popular in
And you followed that song a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, you came to Yunnan at least.
Well,
maybe you didn't quit.
Yeah, I didn't quit my job, but like because I already quit my job and come to Yunnan 5 years, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
So I stayed 2 years in Dali before.
Yeah.
But I feel like I want to make the connection between Yunnan and the city. It's like not like I'm going to hide myself here, because like, no one can be isolated in the world now. Like we have internet, we have everything. Like, I just want
it's to getting harder.
Getting harder and harder.
Building that cabin in the woods. You can still do it in some places, but
But still, people will find you, and you will be broadcast.
they'll make you do a podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or you'll make a video and put it on YouTube.
Right, or that.
Yeah. Mm. So I think like just like stay here, try to show the beautiful part on the culture. What is really like special in Yunnan to people? So when they come here, they don't expect to live in a 5-star hotel, luxury food, just, you know, try to do like luxury style of tourism.
Yeah, for now at least.
Yeah, for now. I mean, like, so if more people doing that, like trying to educate people, like what is valuable, really valuable here is because of the primitive culture, like the beautiful nature.
Yeah.
Like, we should respect it. Like, we can, of course, we can come here and see it, but try not to, like destroy it.
Oh yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, so I think like if I now I have a work in Shanghai, and then I have this hostel here, so I can like tell more people about like what is really, really cool here.
Spread the word.
Like,
yeah, I love it. I mean, even like you mentioned, going around and hiking and picking up trash.
Yeah. It's,
even though maybe it doesn't last very long.
Yeah.
Like a week later, it's probably full of trash again.
But
it's cool. It's great that you have that attitude. It's like
also
good.
Fei is trying to like record like document this really old theater work in the village here.
Oh, okay.
So it's like the different like kind of like folk art in Shaanxi.
Okay.
So they like, try to like do video and like trying to like tell people.
Oh, did you ever have the puppet shows here? The shadow puppets?
No.
That's not from this part?
Yeah, it's not from here.
Where are those from?
It's from more south.
Oh, further south?
Further south.
In Yunnan or?
Well, they have it in Fujian.
Ah, all right.
Yeah, it's actually Fujian puppet shows are like quite famous. And also in Sichuan.
Okay.
They have puppet show.
Huh.
Yeah, Sichuan. Yeah, in Chengdu.
Yeah, those are so cool. Like I mean the one where it's like shadows?
Oh, the shadow.
Shadow puppets?
In Chengdu has quite a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were they I guess they just shine a bright light on a screen and you have stick figures. Maybe I can find a video of this and show
people.
Yeah.
That's good. Also in Southeast Asia, I've got
okay. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, that's usually they make by cow skin, like leather.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
leather.
Yeah, when you say cow skin, I get this different view than when you say leather, even though they're the same thing. It is what leather is. It's cow skin.
Yeah, it's leather.
Huh. Yeah. I just have a whole totally different image in my mind.
More bloody?
Yes, much more bloody when it's cow skin.
Yeah. Huh. I mean, like, leather is something that you processed.
Oh, that's true.
You clean and you
burn it. The cow skin is... The cow probably appreciates having the skin and probably doesn't appreciate it when it's leather.
Yeah. Hmm. That's interesting.
So how much longer are you going to stay in Shashi this time?
Well, I don't know. I may go to Japan in after Spring Festival.
Yeah.
And then, but after Japan, I might come back.
Okay.
Yeah, I will go to see the TPAM. It's a theater festival in Japan. Yokohama? Yokohama, yeah, Yokohama.
Are you going to organize this or?
No, I'm just going to see performance.
Oh, okay, cool. Awesome.
Sometimes you need to show up so people know you're still doing it.
Yeah. And then, but now you're going to rotate with the other owners here soon?
I don't know. They're busy. I will be here at least in the springtime. Well, and then after Japan, I will come back.
Yeah.
And see how it goes. If no one have time, I will stay here a little bit longer. If not, I mean, like, we don't really need to be here. We have a different, like, staff here, so.
Yeah, but it's great to have you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, if for nothing else, like, you speak English and that's so nice. Yeah. I mean, I can get by with Chinese too.
Yeah.
But I've learned a lot from you too.
Our staff speak, like, limited English.
But yeah, it seems like everyone else speaks some.
Yeah, at least some, you know.
Not
like,
a ton.
We won't hire someone who don't speak any English.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, good because there's a lot of foreigners who come here who don't speak any Chinese.
Yeah. It would be very, like, just give them, like, direction, you know, like, even just good enough to give them direction is good.
Yeah, even that.
That's cool. And also, like, have a lot of, like, hiking trail. In Shashi, you have no, like, you cannot find information online.
Uh-huh.
It's not very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them, like, only, really, like, maybe only us doing it. Maybe we are the only hostel, like, recommending it to customers.
Yeah, which is great because these trails are empty then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because the people are afraid, like, it's not a developed trail that you don't have stairs.
Yeah.
So they are afraid that.
That's so hilarious.
It will hurt. Like, if someone get hurt, they have the responsibility.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
For me, being an American, that's just funny. Like, I won't go hiking if there's not a staircase. It has to be paved the entire way and with stairs and fake trees.
Yeah,
and
fake trees.
We have to have
lighting.
That. Yes. And we have to have an ambulance every kilometer. Otherwise, I won't go out hiking. It's just funny.
Yeah. But, like, for Chinese, they're not used to hiking.
Yeah, right.
So if they really, like, walk on this non-paved wall, they will hurt themselves, twist their ankle, and then they will blame the hostel. So
then you get blamed, huh?
We'll also care for about, like, what kind of trail and recommend to different customers.
Ah, that's true.
Yeah, if you can look at them, they will get hurt, and then okay, no.
That's true. Yeah. I find I have to be careful when I talk about hiking too. People will ask me, well, is it really hard?
Yeah.
I go, oh, no, it's super easy. And then I have to realize, oh, wait, you might think it's hard. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not bragging. I just, you know.
So we don't use, like, easy or hard. We say, okay, usually it takes 5 hours if you walk in this pace.
And yeah, that's good.
It requires climbing or, like, you need to use hands or no hands. Or you need to use a stick or no stick, or it's just it's a very easy to walk on a playful or a rough, a wild road.
Yeah.
So it's just be descriptive.
That's good to describe it.
Yeah,
sure.
Describe it because, like, everyone has a different level.
Yep.
Yeah.
And those levels can be very different.
Yes.
Well, and it's not just fitness; it's just being comfortable outside.
Experience.
Yeah, I mean, just not getting scared if you're all alone and you don't know where you are.
Yeah, well, we will never recommend someone go hiking alone. Well, like, be honest, because like, wow, that's,
But it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen.
With me.
Yeah, hiking, it's always good to have a hiking partner. Like,
it's good, you're right,
Yeah.
You never know, you could fall and break your ankle, and then if no one's with you, then
yeah, and then you
bye-bye.
Would just bleed to bye.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hopefully some villager comes by and finds you.
If not, then you...
Yeah, then you've got like, have you ever heard of a book called Touching the Void?
No.
No, it's from the 80s. And it takes place in Peru. Mm-hmm. And these two guys were trying to climb a mountain that had never been climbed. And it's a famous story among climbers because of the ethics involved and like decision making. Mm-hmm. But the long story short, this guy was up on top of the mountain and he had been left for dead. His partner thought he was dead. Mm-hmm. And he had to get back to the camp before they left and no one would be there. And he was severely hurt. He had a broken leg, and he had to climb down a mountain.
Wow!
Yeah, or he would die.
With a broken leg.
With a shattered knee, not just a little broken, like completely shattered. And all he could do was crawl. Yeah, just reading the book, I was in a lot of pain just reading it.
Even just I heard that like a broken knee.
Yeah, oh, it's a good book though.
Yeah,
and. So it's his story of, I mean, the thing is, the guy who wrote it is the guy who went through it. So you know he lives, right?
Okay.
Because he couldn't have written the book otherwise.
Yeah,
that's not a surprise. But how did he do it is the story.
He's the one broken knee?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impressive.
And impressive. Yeah, I guess so. And it took him like 3 or 4 days too.
Wow.
So there are, you know, there are stories like that of being alone and injured in the wilderness. And it's best just not to put yourself in that situation.
Yes.
That's true. Even though this isn't, like, my view whenever I'm in China is just so different than when, like, if I'm in parts of the U.S., there are parts of the states where it's actually remote.
Yeah, yeah, like, of course.
There's no one within 50 miles of you.
Yeah, here it's like, even in the mountain, you might see some villager.
Yeah, even if you climb, like, there's all these hills and mountains around. Yeah. You're probably not going to go all day without seeing anybody.
Yeah, or even, like, it looks empty, but someone may pass by because they could cut some wood or, like, their farm.
Right, someone will come.
Maybe
like parts, I haven't been out to the far west of China.
Yeah.
Probably out there, there's a lot
like
of really wild places.
Or in Haba, for example, the snow mountain. Like in some really tall mountain, of course, like no one will know you.
Yeah.
But
So you're never really truly alone, at least in these parts.
But in a really tall mountain, you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always, maybe, I don't know if this is the right attitude, but I'm always thinking like, can I survive the night? Like, if I get stuck here, can I bivy and, like, will it be just a difficult night or will it kill me?
Wow.
And usually the answer is just, nah, it'll just be a difficult night.
Yeah.
But,
Well, but you never know.
You just never know.
Yeah. Well, people love the, what's that, close-to-death experience, right? Like, that's what makes us feel excited.
Kind of, I've heard of this put like this, like there's category one fun, category two, and then category three. Uh-huh. And category one is where it's fun while you're doing it. Uh-huh. Category two is like where it's fun later. When it's happening, it's not fun at all.
Afterwards,
you think back and it was fun.
Yeah.
And then category three is where it's not fun during or after. And you want to avoid that third one for sure.
Yeah. But a lot of people are just like chasing the second one.
Yes, they chase it. Yes.
Yeah, they want to suffer now, and they will For example, like climbing, like mountaineering is all suffering. Be honest.
Yeah, you know you're right.
Yeah, a lot of like when you're going up those like very cold, it's very cold. They're suffering from high altitude sickness.
It's hard to breathe.
Breathe. And then you don't know, and then you don't talk to people because you're lack of energy.
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't even like look around. You just look at the one interest in front of you because you're too tired.
Let alone that.
Yeah.
I've climbed mountains where like you know, you get up at midnight.
Yeah, you just
you go to bed
at,
when it gets dark for 2 hours or 3 hours. Wake up at midnight, start walking at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
It's pitch black. There's nothing to look at.
Yes. And then even when you're so tired, you don't like look around. You just like walk and walk and walk, trying to like consume your energy.
Yes, conserve it.
You don't know to waste like too much.
But I'll tell you, have you ever climbed a mountain, like a tall mountain? Like, for me,
4,000, 5,000.
Awesome, yeah. Like, getting to the top and just seeing the view, like watching the sun come up from the top of a mountain, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing higher than you. Mm-hmm. You can just see forever.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Even just the process, like, it's suffering,
but
it's just like, it's nothing around you, like you're just enjoying. It's kind of more meditative.
Yeah, it is. It is meditative.
You're just like talking to yourself, basically.
You have to, you have to keep your mind maybe occupied or calm, maybe.
Calm,
calm. Keep your mind calm.
Yeah, be focused. Concentrate.
Stay focused.
Stay focused.
Otherwise, the time will, it'll take forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a meditative thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And then in the top, you're like, oh, I did it. That feeling.
Yes.
Like, you know, people die for it.
Yeah, they do. But then the real suffering happens when you go down, I've learned. Because at least when you're going up, you've got like this thing to look forward to.
Mm.
And you still have all of your energy, even though you're tired.
Yeah.
But coming down, you run out of energy.
Yeah. And also like a lot of time coming down is more dangerous.
Yeah, you can fall easily.
I've
almost just tripped over my crampons. I mean, you have to keep your feet apart, and it's easy to, like, if I just told you, hey, walk 5 steps with your feet like far apart from each other, you could easily do it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I told you, walk for like 8 hours straight, and your feet have to always be apart, every single step, and if they ever come together even once, you could fall and die.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah.
That's
mountaineering.
Yeah.
I mean, and so you just lose focus for one moment and boom, you're dead.
You have to stay focused like all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's all worthwhile though. I don't know why. I love it.
Yeah. Like, I wonder too. I mean, it's very interesting for a philosopher, psychology.
Yes.
Yeah, like what make us want to mountaineer? Like even though it's suffering, it's hard.
Yeah.
But the shiny moments are so short. Like you go to the top, and then maybe it's like half hour, 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah, half hour if you're lucky.
Yeah, lucky. Like if it's not like the rain is not coming.
Yeah.
And then you go down. Like it's so short.
Right.
You just like suffer for so long and for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. I almost think there's like something built into us.
Yeah.
Life is so easy now.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you look around the world and it seems like everything's falling apart, but really, think about it.
Yeah, enjoy
like,
the coffee.
We've got food, we've got shelter.
Not even
we've
that,
got the like, internet.
Yeah.
You know? We've got smartphones.
We're like enjoying tea and coffee.
Yeah.
We're thinking like it's too, our bed is not soft enough.
Right. Like, I mean, for some people, like, okay, I'm not trying to like discount the people who are truly poor, but
of course,
for the majority of people in the world now, life is just so much easier than it used to be.
So comfortable.
So like, I don't know. I think we still kind of crave those challenges.
Yeah, crave the challenge.
That make life a little harder. Maybe not forever, but just here and there.
Yeah, I think it's usually because in the Asian, like long time ago, the people like are being adventurous are the leader that find a new land. Like from new food, you know, like I think
hey, you think it, about that.
Yeah, you think about it. It built into our the DNA is like we need to be adventurous if you want to be the leader. Like you
that's
have
true.
A successful feeling.
That's true. If you weren't adventurous before we started like agriculture, then you just starved.
Yeah, you just starved.
Because like, you never found an animal to kill.
Yeah, you never found a piece of like good land or like for a fruit tree or like you need to be like just keep wandering around.
Yeah, nomadic.
So I think like some of us still have this like Asian instinct.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's still there. I think it's still built in.
Yeah.
And so if you can find that balance of having this awesome modern world, I love technology, I love the modern world, don't get me wrong, but then still get those little glimpses of like the past and of hardship and minimal suffering,
yeah,
you know, with no long-term consequences. I think that's just ideal.
Yeah, that would be. But just the balance, like the edge, people just going on the edge, like living more and more and more and
more,
you know?
Yeah, sometimes you fall off.
You fall off, yeah. So,
gotta be careful. Mm-hmm. Mm. So what's your next big adventurous challenge? What do you think?
Oh, actually, I make my New Year wish is I need to go up to Snow Mountain once this year.
To any snow mountain or a specific one?
Oh, I'm going to Haba.
Haba.
Yeah, okay. So next May, I think I'm going to Haba Snow Mountain. Not far from here, like you can drive there in 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
And how high is it?
Like almost 6,000.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. And but this is beautiful. It's a Tibetan area.
Okay.
So you will see like the Tibetan village. The base camp is a Tibetan village. So.
They allow you to climb it? It's not a sacred mountain?
No, it's not. So lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
That's too cool. Many sacred mountains in Tibet already.
Yes, yes. There are a lot of those.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool though.
Yeah. And then I want to go do diving.
Yeah, scuba diving?
Scuba diving.
Yeah, with the mask. Yeah.
Yeah, go deep. Go deep.
Yeah. Yes, go deep.
Yeah, go deep.
Have you ever done it?
No.
No? I have. I'm certified.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I like it a lot. I find it very relaxing, actually.
Yeah, so many of my friends already did it, and everyone told me, oh, you need to try it. You need to try it.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a whole world underneath the ocean that you just don't know about.
Yeah, 90% of the world is unseen.
90%, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. I haven't thought about a percentage, but yeah, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, so like Fifei and Aliang, all the other two owners of the hostel, they're addicted to diving now.
Yeah, I haven't done it in several years, but I've always really enjoyed it.
Yeah. This is my two New Year goals.
Ah, great. Yeah. There's this thing, we were kind of talking about like adrenaline and crazy things. Mm-hmm. There's this thing that happens if you go deep enough diving to like 40 meters. Mm-hmm. That's called nitrogen narcosis.
Uh-huh.
You've learned about this?
No, is it your lack of nitrogen?
Yeah, I think it's a lack of nitrogen. Uh-huh. I forget exactly what causes it, but you kind of feel like you're drunk.
Okay.
It's as long as you're with someone who knows what they're doing and can get you out safely. Ooh. It's like actually, for me, it was a really cool feeling.
Mm. And also, I want to try this, they call it like free diving.
Yeah,
without gear.
You just hold your breath.
Yeah. Ooh, but I just feel like, okay, diving is cool, but like with like a 30 kg of gear on you.
Well, once you're in the water, you're weightless.
Yes.
It doesn't weigh anything. So
it still weighs something. Yeah, you know I mean, 40 kg? 40
no, you don't feel it at all.
Yeah.
If you're underneath the water, you don't feel
but
it.
But you sink.
Well, what you have to do in diving, you have to wear weights around your waist
so you can make you sink. Yeah, you go sink.
Yeah, and then you wear a vest, and you can put air into that vest, and that makes you float.
And then you squeeze, right?
So yeah.
I saw the free diving video. They can just like hold their breath. When they breathe out, they can sink. And then they breathe, they finish the oxygen, and they just like swing up.
Oh, right, because they let the air out of their lungs and then
it's so cool.
Yeah, it's really those guys are amazing.
Yes.
The ones who can hold their breath for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just,
oh my God.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like me and Feifei like practice in the hot spring one day, like see how long we can hold our breath. It's difficult.
Yeah. How long did you get?
I don't know. We don't have a watch. We just like have
a contest kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. Yeah, I like sport. Water sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love swimming and surfing.
Cool. Yeah. Do you want to do that in Shanghai? Is there a spot or
you mean diving?
Yeah, diving. Where are you going to go?
I'm going to Thailand to do that.
Oh yeah, that's a beautiful place to dive. Okay, I haven't gone diving there, but.
Yeah, and I think it's just easy to have a course, like a certificate.
There. I think so.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
I think it's one of the cheapest,
Feifei told me they can do this 7 days with breakfast, with food and accommodation and training. It's like 5,000-6,000.
Yuan?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And that's probably gets you to your advanced open water?
Yeah.
Yeah. Open water. So you can go down to 40 meters.
No. I would die.
No, you'll dive. You'll dive. That's cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. All right. So you've got a lot of adventurous things coming up.
Yes. Next year, I want to be more adventurous.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, you should.
And
do you have your own website or just the hostel's website?
I have my own website.
Do you want other people to know about it?
But it's not maintained very well now. Maybe later when I have time to maintain it.
Okay. Well, I think like if other people are interested in following you when you dive and when you go climb a mountain, do you keep up with social media?
Yeah, my Facebook.
You have Facebook and WeChat?
WeChat, yeah. Facebook, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll get those from you and I'll put up links on the webpage. And I'll give you a link for your hostel, too, the Horsepen 46. Yeah, this place is awesome. I definitely would recommend it to anybody.
Thank you.
Not, like, getting paid to say that or anything. It's just I really, truly believe it. And I think I'll end up staying here at least 2 weeks, maybe longer, which is, a really great time for me.
We really like long-term guests.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because, you can know them more. Mm-hmm. And then you, like, talk to them, learn interesting stories from them.
Yeah.
Like, much better than, like, comes and goes, you know?
Right. Yeah, a lot of people just come for a night or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I do in a lot of places, too.
Yeah,
like staying longer. And it's I've learned a lot of great stuff from you guys, too.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us.
No worries, and thanks for coming on the show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information, you can visit my website, 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. From there, you can sign up to get updates from this podcast delivered directly to your inbox. Remember, the Around the World podcast is all about meeting ordinary people who have done extraordinary things. Thanks for listening.